When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Thanks for downloading this week's episode of the Attacking Scrum podcast. This is the second part of our Lions selection special. So if you haven't listened to the first bit, which is where we select our forwards for the tour, then you can go back and have a listen to that one. As you can probably guess, this is us selecting the backs. We had a lot of fun doing this and hopefully you have a lot of fun listening to it as well. Now, we did record both of these sessions last week, and there shouldn't be anything that's out of date on there, but what it does mean is we haven't had a chance to reflect on some of the big rugby news from this week, most notably the death of John Dawes. And, you know, when you're talking about Lions, it's hard to think of many who've achieved quite as much in the Red of Wales and the Red of the Lions, the only captain to win a Lions series in New Zealand. We'll definitely in due course do a proper tribute, but it was something that we wanted to mention before getting underway with this one. And I think particularly in relation to the relationship that he had with the Lions. No doubt we'll talk about that more on next week's podcast. But in the meantime, hopefully you will enjoy this episode where we select the backs for the upcoming tour. Thanks for listening.
Minutes of the end, David Watkins to Dawes, to Bradshaw, back to Dawes, a try for Wales.
This is the second part of the Attacking Scrum specials where we choose the British and Irish Lions squad that we would like to see take on South Africa. We've had a bit of a dressing room bust up in between recording these two things. Dan Killick is driving me mad with his microphone. Seemingly managed to find something for it to brush against the entire time. And then when I told him not to, he's pulling the lead without the microphone on. Murph is overdosing on brandy and Coke and Cadbury's cream eggs. So God knows what kind of selections we're going to have in this. But hopefully you enjoyed the selections where we chose our forwards. It's time now to get stuck in to the back division.
Rashford up front,
yeah. Nailed on. Now, by my reckoning, we mentioned this in part one where we picked the forwards. Two fly halves, I think, is definitely what's going to happen. Plus presumably Farrell. So here's what I think: we have three scrum halves, two fly halves, a centre, four centres, including one who can play. Including one who can play. You can play 10. Actually, you might take five centres on that basis then. Have I messed up my numbers here? Oh, no wonder I've messed this up. We've got like 1,500 flankers on the tour. At the moment, so here's what we've got. We may change things, but we can't change the forwards now because they are halfway to South Africa. But the backs have got three scrum halves, two fly halves, four centres and six back three forwards. Does that sound about right? God, we've definitely taken too many forwards here, but never mind. Too late. It's too late for this. They're gone. Let's start with scrum halves, though. We are working on the basis that we're going to take three scrum halves, and this might be the most contentious part of the field. I think this is where it's tricky because there's a lot of good international players here, but no one nailed on. And a lot of players, it's difficult to choose this. Unlike other positions, I just don't see there as being anyone who's nailed on. All the best scrum halves are Welsh, certainly the depth is all in Wales, but we haven't got anyone who's really nailed down that position themselves. So this for me is tricky. Do you want to hear some that I've got on the shortlist?
Yeah.
So, Ben Youngs, Connor Murray, Ali / Tommy Price, Thomas Williams, Gareth Davis is what I've got on my list at the moment. Anyone else worth a mention?
Danny Kerr.
No.
Yeah, not going to happen, I don't think. And I don't think, like, you know, I like him a lot. I think he's an excellent club player, but he's never, you know, he hasn't been able to oust Ben Youngs under three different coaches. So I don't see why, Gatland would think any different personally. What do you reckon, Murph?
Theoretically, Jameson Gibson Park.
Yeah, that's a good shout.
Who is second choice Scottish scrum half? I mean, he wouldn't go, but
he played. I think it was Steele. He played in one of the games, didn't he?
No chance. I agree that this is a contentious and tricky position, but I think that personally, I think outside half is the toughest. So okay. I'm just going to cruise through this selection.
Go on then. Who was your 3B, Murph?
Well, I think there's a cast iron myself. You said no, there's no clear standout, but I think based on the way he played against England and the way he's finished the Six Nations and then continued into the European tournament, and the fact that he's younger than I realised, I don't think he's older. He's only 31. I think Conor Murray is a cast iron.
Yeah. I like that. I think, yeah, there's a lot to make that. The game against England, I think, was the bit of recapturing his form that he really needed, and that might well be the spark. And you know, he's got the proven experience. He started all three tests last time, didn't he? So there's a lot to like about taking him.
Well, there's a lot of players around in all positions who needed to hit some form by the end of the tournament or like by now, and he's only one of the few who managed it. A lot of players needed to turn their game around, especially in the England camp. When they were unable, for whatever reason, to do so. Conor Murray did hit his form when he needed to make it on the plane. And the reason I say it's cast iron, not necessarily because he's going to be test starter, because he's outplayed every other nine.
I think that's a good shout. I mean, for me, he would be on the plane. Dan?
Yeah, I'd have him on the plane. Yeah, he had a great game, didn't he, against England with Sexton as well. So yeah, on the plane for me.
All right, let's chalk that one in. Of the other contenders, this is where it gets interesting, because yeah, I think you're right. Let's add Gibson Park into the mix as well. I think I must have just forgotten about him there. But I think obviously Ben Youngs is the safe bet, but for me, it's such a critical position, scrum half, that I think you either go, if you're a solid performer who we know is of that level and can play nine at Test rugby and has loads of experience, is Conor Murray. I don't see the point in taking Ben Youngs, who isn't as good a box kicker as Conor Murray. His service isn't as good as Conor Murray. He doesn't offer as much threat with ball in hand as Conor Murray. So I don't know. I think he's, I know I always come across like I hate him, and he will go. Yeah, I'm fairly sure Gatland will take him, but I wouldn't personally.
Are you gonna? I was just gonna copy what you said, except I can't see any point in Ben Youngs. Full stop. I just wouldn't have him. I barely hold on to his England place if there was any kind of depth at nine in England. But he is a very safe bet for Gatland because he's been before. You know, he can play in huge matches. But and I think if things had gone better for the Welsh nines this tournament, then he would be much easier to drop. But Ali Price has been good, but probably not good enough to force anyone like that out. And same for Jameson Gibson Park. He started the tournament as first choice nine and ended up losing it to Conor Murray. Yeah. If he'd played a bit better, possibly Conor Murray wouldn't have had a sniff, and then that would be even more complicated. But I just try, because the Welsh nines didn't get a good enough run, mainly because of injury, it has to be said, with Thomas Williams, Ben Youngs probably holds onto his place on the plane.
Yeah, it's interesting. I mean, I think that's what will happen. I personally wouldn't take him. Dan, would you take Ben Youngs?
I think Ben Youngs will go because of experience, won't he? And yeah, as you boys have said, there just wasn't... It's... We're lacking in quality there, aren't we, at nine? I think for this Lions trip. But I think experience is gonna count, and he's very steady, isn't he? So I think he'll definitely tour. I really do.
I don't think you beat South Africa in South Africa with a steady nine. Like, you know, because Murray on his game can be absolutely match winning, right? With his box kicks, or, you know, he scored a try in that second test, you know, crucial try in that game. I don't know if Ben Youngs is a match winner for me.
But I think you need an out and out. You need another experienced.
I would take Gareth Davis in that role. And I know
in the experienced role. Yeah, what, and then a bolter.
Possibly. And then some... I'm still not sure about my third, but I would take Gareth Davis in that mold of he can win you a match. He can win
you. Would you not take Ben Youngs and then Gareth Davis?
No, I wouldn't. I just think, like, I don't think Ben Youngs wins you a game. I don't think he, I don't know, again, this is all going to come back and bite me in the arse when he invariably does. And if that's true, then great. But I don't know. I just think that, like, Gareth Davis is, I think he's a really frustrating player to watch at times because he can have some, but often he's a frustrating player to watch for 20 minutes and then he bolts in an intercept try from 70 yards that changes the momentum of a game, or he takes a quick tap and go and causes massive problems. So that's why I would go for him. And again, he tends to have his best matches in big games. You know, you think back to the World Cup and pool games against Australia in 2019, against England in 2015, against South Africa, in fact, in the quarterfinals in 2015. You know, he has his big games generally he has his best game, sorry, in big games. So I don't know. I'd be looking for him. I'd be looking for him, really. But
look, if this was just out and what I want, it would be common. Well, yeah, I know. But me and Dan are going along the lines of realistically, Ben Youngs is going to go whatever we say. But if this is just out and out me, it would be Conor Murray, Gareth Davis, Thomas Williams. That's all mine three would be.
All right, Dan, what would yours be?
Really torn. Really torn. But that is exciting. Yeah, let's go with that. Let's go with, and I bet you're happy with that, Jed.
I am. Do you know what? I actually had Ali Price over Thomas Williams.
Did you?
Yeah.
It's tricky for Thomas because he a lot of people think he's the best nine in Wales.
Mm.
And should be eventually the out and out first choice nine. But he's been so disrupted, and then he's got no opportunity now to show anything between now and selection day because Cardiff balls it up against London Irish, who didn't play this weekend. And the Rainbow Cup is God knows what's happening there. So he's got no, there's no shop window for him left.
Yeah.
But that's just my completely one-eyed Welshman's choice.
Yeah, I mean, I've been impressed with Ali Price. I think those games he's played, I just think he's got I think it's hard sometimes to look good as a Scottish nine. I think I think it can be difficult, and you've got to be a lot more impressive to catch the eye than you do playing behind that English pack, or generally playing behind that English pack, which is why I hold his form a bit higher than Ben Youngs's. Yeah, and Thomas, I just don't think has played. I mean, I have no qualms with him going because, you know, I'm a big fan. I mean, he's got bags and bags of talent, but he's just not played much test match rugby. You know, not many minutes. He's got quite a few caps, but not many minutes. And
so that means you were leaning towards Ben Youngs, Gareth Davis, Tommy Price, Ali Price.
No, I'm leaning towards.
Oh, no, sorry, not Ben Youngs. Conor Murray. Murray.
Yeah, mine was Murray. Murray, Gareth Davis, Tommy Price.
Well, okay.
But I'm happy to go with Thomas if that's you've got the consensus. So
yeah, I couldn't argue with Ali Tommy Price, but
I think when you look at the tens as well, you know, you'd have a nice combo when you with Murray and Sexton.
Not in my tour.
Ditto.
the nine thing. Personally, I don't think Ben Youngs would be on my tour. So if it's Davis and Price or Davis and Williams, either. I wouldn't argue with either of you over that, but I wouldn't take Ben Youngs.
Well, I think we're all agreed on that. Dan, you get the you get the you get the cast.
Can I just say again, I would not take Ben Youngs.
And let me just say again, I don't hate Ben Youngs. I think there are better options out there. Dan, so we're taking Murray and Davis. You get to choose the third.
Thomas Williams. Let's go for it. Roll the dice.
Did you mean Lloyd Williams?
Yes. Now there's a hair.
I don't hate Ben Youngs either. In fact, he's one of the least hateful English players.
Yeah, exactly. Which actually, in a way, is probably the biggest compliment you could ever play.
Annie's a listener to this.
Shut up. Yeah, you got everyone down as listeners to this.
I know. Yeah, I'm selling the pod in a big way.
It's literally us and like my mum.
Hey, come on though.
Sorry.
He's getting too big for his boots now, Murph.
My mum doesn't know what a podcast is. It was just a joke.
In which case, it's just us. Right. Okay. So we're on to fly halves, which which is interesting. So
yeah, the boxing gloves on.
Yeah, what I've got down as fly halves are Ford. Sexton, Russell, Bigger. I have got Farrell in there. For me, I'd take Bigger and Russell as my two.
Just as a before we get going, as a roundup of the people who are available, there's still people on BT Sport, professional people, commentators and things, mentioning Sam Simmons' brother as a 10. And I think obviously, sometimes it's just something to say because they're in the middle of a commentary. Mm. But I think anyone who genuinely thinks he could or should go would also have Farrell as the third. So they would have two English outside halves in a year when their outside half play has sucked.
Yeah, it has. It's been appalling. I don't think. Yeah, I mean, that would be a bolter if Sam said, what's his name?
Can't remember. Sam's brother. That's what I call him.
Tommy? Is he?
Yeah. Simmons.
Tommy Simmons. Joe.
Joe Simmons.
Joey. Good old Joey. No way.
He can't go at 10, can he? He's a great player, but.
No, but he's getting mentioned on BT Sport.
If you're going to take a bolter, right?
Yeah.
An out and out old school bolter, it's going to be on the wing. You know what I mean? It's not going to be at 10 in South Africa when you're only taking two 10s, is it? You know, it's just not. You need experience and form there. And for me, that's why you go Bigger for someone who's a test match animal, can kick the leather off the ball and really long, which when you've got some test matches at altitude is very important. Something that we are going to come on to talk about a lot is goal kicking, because there's not actually that many goal kicking options in here. And Bigger is as good a goal kicker that the world's ever seen. So for me, he's in there as a safe option. And Finn Russell, I know he didn't have an outstanding Six Nations, but I just think, well, you know, when he's playing his best rugby, he offers you something that I do think defences would be scared of. So they're my two choices.
Dan, you've got Sexto in your squad, have you?
I have, yeah. I've got Bigger. I thought he had a really, really good game against England.
Yeah, he did.
And he's just got a lot of experience. If there's going to be two 10s, I just worry. Finn Russell is a wonderful player, isn't he? He's so good to watch and it's helter-skelter. But I just have question marks over, you know, over there if Bigger got an injury, or I know, you know, Farrell's there as well, but yeah, I would take Sexton, especially if we're taking Murray as well. I think that can work quite nicely. So yeah, he nips in for me.
Can I just say my reasoning on Sexton? Yesterday in the Heineken Cup game against Exeter, his nose was bleeding and stuff full of cotton wool within a few minutes, and by about 27 minutes, he's off of the HIA, completely dinged up, knocked about. Like he's always has done all his career, just been in the thick of it all the time. And that's why what happened yesterday has happened loads of times with Sexton, and he just gets himself smashed deliberately. He just won't chicken out. He won't back down from any competition. And that's fine, but he's 35 now.
Yeah.
And there should have been an element in his game where he's gone, okay, well, let me sit back in the armchair and let Bundiaki or Robbie Henshaw do that kind of thing, and I will just control stuff. But he's gone even, in a way, he's gone even more bloody-minded in his approach. And if he does that in South Africa, he'd be smashed to bits like he normally gets. He get not just yesterday in that game against Exeter, but in at least one of the Six Nations games. He went off the HIA. He was arguing, wasn't he, in one game, arguing.
About yeah.
And I think there was another game where he was knocked around within 25 minutes. So that is, as well as just the very big age he's carrying. I know there's others like Alan Wynne at that age, but it's different in the forwards. That is why I wouldn't go with Johnny.
I think the same, and I don't think he'd shown any form. And so I know we said Murray hadn't shown that form, but I think Murray was still kind of finding his fitness again. For me, yeah, he had an excellent game against England, Sexton. And look, at his best, yeah, really, he is. He will go down as a Lions great. You know, he masterminded two very successful tours. I don't think he's necessarily got a third in him. I don't think I would be trusting him. And again, you don't want him there holding the tackle bags, really, do you? I think you want, and you can't afford to if you're only taking two.
Yeah, no, I think Gatland would lean more towards Johnny if he was a little bit younger than Finn Russell. More Gatland's type of player, I would say.
Let's quickly look at that, because I don't think Finn Russell is Gatland's type of player.
No.
He's a complete maverick of a 10. And it's interesting. Do you think Gatland will take him? Let's throw that at you, Dan.
I don't think Gatland will take Finn Russell, no.
I wouldn't be surprised either.
I think there'll be uproar. And possibly, rightly so, but I just think he hasn't shown enough consistency in the big, big games for Gatland's mind to be changed, really. And, if it was potentially any other, head coach, then it probably would be a very, very different outcome, but I just don't think he's done enough.
It's a really interesting point. The thing that I find quite interesting, though, is again, if you find yourself a test 10 points adrift in a test match against South Africa and you need to make a change at 10, is Johnny Sexton coming on for bigger or vice versa necessarily going to make that bigger difference? Whereas Russell, you might find yourself 25 points down, but you also might find yourself 4 points in front. I think that he's that kind of player that can change a game. And I don't think he's so much fazed by the big occasion. I agree that he's just not put his best form in those games. I don't know. For me, I would have him in there. Murph, which tens are you taking?
I'm Russell bigger, but I can see the argument against Russell. Apart from what I just said about he's not Gatland's type of player. Also, there's no, if he goes, there's no familiarity around him.
No,
Hogg is all he's going to have in the back line with him. Maybe Duane van der Merwe, it would probably make my squad. But, he's not going to be there with Tommy or Ali. He's not going to be there with Ali Price. He's not going to be there with Cameron Redpath or whoever plays 12, or Hastings or whoever plays 12. So he's going to have to get used to all new environment in a short space of time, and vice versa, then getting used to him. Mm. So, yeah, it's a big call, but I think Sexton is past it. Therefore, if you don't take Russell, who do you take?
Mm.
Like, obviously, people who don't want to Russell are going for Sexton. But I honestly think Sexton's a big risk. You're just going to get knocked about. And therefore, if you don't take Russell, then you're looking at Farrell as an out and out 10, not 10-12, or you're looking at Joe Simmons or whoever played back up to Johnny Sexton. Sexton didn't start every game, did he?
No.
Burns ended one, and Burn singular started one.
Yeah, Burn played well yesterday off the bench for Leinster, But yeah, I don't think they take either of them.
But the problem, it's tricky. The problem with any of the Irish tens is the fact.
Jared Evans, it is.
Is the fact that a 35-year-old Johnny Sexton is keeping him out of the side.
They're all in his shadow, aren't they? So, yeah. It probably is a straight choice then. If Gatland doesn't want to risk Finn Russell, you're probably going to wheel out old man Sexton.
So what are we doing then? There's two of us in favour of going Russell and Bigger.
It's 2-1, isn't it?
I'm Finn all the way. I'm Finn all the way. Finn and my starting 10.
Bang. Let's go with that then. Let's go with Finn.
Done. What that does mean then, Murph, is when we come on to talk about centres, you're not telling me that Finn Russell is goal-kicking in a test match series against South Africa, are you?
Yeah. He's not the best by any means. I don't know what his percentages are, but he's not. I mean, I was going to mention some names then. He's not completely all over the shop. He's not completely unreliable.
No, he's not Kenny Logan, but
I was going to say George Ford when he started his international career. He was a bit of a splicer. No, he's not. He's not in the higher echelons of place kickers, but I don't think he's shocking. You know.
No, I don't. But I also don't think he's a test series for the Lions. You need someone on the pitch who will score you a match-winning penalty. And that has been Lee Halfpenny. It has been Farrell. It has been, to a point, it was Elliot Daly, actually, you know, with some of his gun kicks in New Zealand.
But then you're going to be Farrell or Bigger on the bench if Finn Russell starts as 10. So they're definitely going to finish the game. I mean, don't think anyone's thinking of taking Halfpenny.
No, I don't think so. Okay, interesting. Well, look, either way, Bigger and Russell go. So as we move on to look at centres, here's what I've got as a list. Farrell, Slade, Aki, Henshaw, Ringrose, Chris Harris, Hugh Jones, George North, John Fox.
Is Tuilagi going to be fit?
No. I don't think so. Well, again, this is me saying it.
All right.
I think he's...
He's never fit, but you could...
No. Well, he's probably the one player in the whole of the British Isles who you would take on one leg hoping to be fit.
Yeah, I get that completely.
So if there's a date, which is vaguely within the next couple of weeks, I haven't heard about him returning to fitness, so maybe it is a busted flush. But if he's anywhere close, he's probably the one player who could, especially because outside centre is not a strong position with Henry Slade having a tough season. Mm. I think, you know, look, let's look at the cast irons again. Henshaw's a cast iron.
Yeah,
he is. I think he's had an excellent...
And then because of the way we're selecting at 10, Farrell is a cast iron.
Yeah.
George North.
So that's two. You got two
already. Yeah. And then three more slots or two more slots?
I mean, I suppose what you could look at is taking North as a wing / centre and then opening up a specialist centre slot.
Mm.
Slot, even not slot.
I think the tournament that George had, he's going, isn't he?
Yeah,
he was going somewhere.
Yeah.
All right, let's ink him in.
That's three.
But what I'm saying is you could take someone out of the wing position.
They tend to scrimp on back three players because they're interchangeable. You know, people like Elliot Daly in the past would cover 13, 14, 15, 11.
Yeah, if he hadn't been in such humming form and Eddie hadn't played him at 15 for the last 4 years, I think he'd have been in a much better nick, actually. I'm a big fan of Elliot Daly, but it's just...
I think he's a really good 13.
Do you?
Yeah, but he just...
I think he's an excellent winger.
Yeah, as well, but not a fullback. Not a starting fullback.
Yeah, I like him in the centre as well.
Yeah.
I really do.
He probably doesn't make the tour now.
He's been messed around and this affected him.
Yeah, I think it has. I think it's cost him his place from the Lions.
Yeah,
it's not James Hook syndrome.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah.
So there could be two more centres then if we went for five.
there could if, yeah, if you went for five. I mean, it's really intriguing that Slade's had a bad season because I'm a big fan of his. And yeah. I mean, a bad season for England anyway. I don't know what Gatland's thoughts on him are, really.
I think he could still go, don't you? Because he is a class operator, isn't he?
Well, it's between as 13s, if you've already gone north and he's utility as well, then it's between him and Gary Ringrose, which probably Slade wins.
Yeah, different players, aren't they?
Yeah, but
here's Slade kicking option with
the thing in South Africa is you want kicking options because of games at altitude, but you've also got lots of games played on very, very fast tracks that someone with some extra wheels can really cause some damage.
Are we saying John Fox is not going?
I'll tell you what, Murph, we'll pose that as a question. Because I just by the look on Dan Killick's face, this is going to be an interesting one to get a response from. And we'll get that response after a very quick break. Right, the cliffhanger that was left before the break, if Murph hadn't have already given the answer, was is John Fox going? I personally wouldn't take him, but then I think I said the same thing 4 years ago, and he was man of the tour. So again, as always, what the hell do I know? It's tricky. I just think he might have had one injury too many there, John, and he was solid, very solid at 12 in those games that he played. But you want 2013, 2017 John Fox, don't you? I'm just a bit worried that the injuries are stopping him from getting back to that level.
Or even 2019 John Fox.
Yeah, or even 2019, exactly. Yeah.
And I don't think we've seen anything close to any of those.
I don't.
So
we haven't, have we? But he also hasn't played badly. I thought he was sort of, in a weird way, sort of quietly quite brilliant as well, you just want to ask him, don't you, John, how are you, and for him to say I've had it, or I'm
that would be really honest.
Yeah, Murph, can you give him a call now, just as I'm talking.
I'll text him now.
Yeah.
but he's shown great maturity to play out of position, because he tried to get him to play 12 when he was very young because he was so chunky.
Yeah,
but he I don't know if he hated it, but he just didn't like it there, and eventually turned into the 13 that he became. But now he's had to play 12, and he's shown a lot of maturity to do the business there. But I just think he looks down on mobility.
You
mentioned this year that in the derbies against Cardiff Blues or Cardiff Rugby, as I know, he was getting cut inside of all the time.
Yeah, which you've never seen before, have you? And it happened quite a few times.
The defensive captain of the whole team, and he can't stop people cutting inside him. So
I think at one point in his career, that 17, 19 point in his career, he was the best defensive 13 in the world.
Yeah.
I would agree, undoubtedly. Yeah. Yeah. He looks as if he's moving with a bit of pain, doesn't he? Like, I no idea whether he is, but he looks to be, just a bit uneasy. But he's because he's still quality, he still cuts it, doesn't he? But it might just be one physical tour too many, maybe.
Mm-hmm. They do they do a lot of drills, don't they, which are timed, 40 meter dash and different agility drills. I wouldn't mind seeing his times compared to pre World Cup, because he doesn't look, I mean, it could be just my own prejudice, but he doesn't look as sharp as he did back then. So, there's these recognized things in NFL where they have to hit so many cones in a certain order, and that goes down on your sporting CV for prospective teams to look at. They obviously do that similar level of testing in rugby union, and he looks like he's nowhere near his quickest. A lot of players do, in fairness, but I don't know.
It feels wrong, doesn't it? Like not including, it's so hard because it's an emotional
Our own player has pushed him out of his position. George North has pushed him out of his position. So that tells you everything you need to know, really.
Yeah.
I mean, he was carrying a knock into the tournament, but still.
Yeah, I just think it was that. It's that big layoff after the World Cup that was you know, because he played the final game he played in at the World Cup was asking a lot of him, because he missed the quarter and played in the semi, didn't he? And
yeah.
You just wonder. I've got no intelligence on this whatsoever. You could just say I've got no intelligence, but I just wonder whether he pushed himself going into that game thinking I can be the difference to get us over the line into a World Cup here, and perhaps he wasn't quite fully recovered.
Oh, there was definitely a calculation made about him playing in that semi-final. You know, I need an operation, but I'm gonna go through, because this World Cup semi-finals are once or twice in a lifetime if you're Welsh, and he took the decision, and then he needed. I'm guessing he needed longer recovery, but I don't think it's especially over. You know, that far past 30.
No. He's had a lot of serious injuries. You know, obviously he missed the previous World Cup with a horrendous knee injury, didn't he? And
yeah,
I just wonder whether it's starting to catch up with him again. You know, it might be wrong. And again, if he's on the plane, I'm delighted because, back Gatland to get the tune out of him. But I do worry about him. And if I was picking, which I think obviously this is the hypothetical scenario, he wouldn't be one of mine.
No, just because we haven't, like you say, 4 years ago he was off form and he still went and then he played at all. But he just, it's not so much form now.
I think it's that, yeah.
Mobility rather than form, I think. He's actually been okay at 12, like nothing wrong with the way he's played. He just doesn't look physically what he was. I'd be delighted to be proven wrong by that. If we're facing South Africa, I wouldn't object to Bundiaki.
Well, we are facing South Africa, that much we do know. I tell you what, I was really impressed with those couple of games Chris Harris put together. I just thought the amount of ground he covered, and defensively he was really impressive. I don't think Gatland will take him, but I was very impressed with him to the point where I'd be taking him over Aki, I think.
I think we do need though a Bundiaki style, don't we? Ball count, like a simple, you know, straight up bish bash bosh classic, hard, you know, hard yards made, don't you think, against them?
Yeah.
Well, in the absence of Tuilagi, he's a handy
thing
for that. I tell you, we could put, it's only very out of left field, could put a Catmans of Pigeons with the Owen Farrell selection is Hastings. Because he plays 10-12. And he's much more adventurous than Farrell at 10.
He is.
I don't think it'll happen.
I don't think there's any chance of him going. I'm a big fan. I do like him a lot. But again, I think his first real big game bit of form was against France, when, to be fair to him, he pulled the strings brilliantly. And he also made a break at one point that looked like his old man 20 years earlier, or 25 years earlier at the Parc de France, where I thought he was going to get away. But yeah, I don't see him going personally. And
he had a good autumn. Most of his good performances have come at 10.
They have. I think he's more of a 10, to be honest.
Yeah. You'd be a little bit wary of him defensively at 12, whereas you wouldn't necessarily be that with Farrell. But I'm just thinking out loud then.
Yeah.
Feel free to tell me to shut up. It's getting late. Too many brandies.
It's getting late. Dan wants to watch The Line of Duty. He'd much rather be watching that. We need to start making a decision here, don't we? I mean, I'd be erring towards Slade, I think, just because I do think he's, you know, it's a ball playing option. Now, I think Henshaw is your physical centre. George North isn't going to shirk on physicality either, is he? And Farrell is obviously a physical option. You know, I know he's technically a 10-12, but he's not much of a ball player. I think actually Slade is the one who gives you a bit of creativity and a kicking option and a little bit of flair.
Yeah, and playing in a different style from England, you might get more out of him.
Yeah, definitely.
A lot more. Yeah, the other thing that just worries me about whoever's ends up in the test starting position at centre is Dialendi. Oh my God,
some player, isn't he?
Oh, he doesn't. he looks strong, like he looks powerful and strong, but he's stronger than that, if you know what I mean.
Yeah.
His performances for Munster, he's just a machine. Like he's bowling over front five forwards in the ruck and in the tackle, and he's freakish, absolutely freakish, and I would not want to be playing against him.
Yeah.
Luckily, I'm 20 years past my playing day, so that's fine.
It's tricky.
I'll go Slade.
Go Slade?
I'm happy with Slade, yeah.
I'm not going to dig my heels in. I've got no hill to die on at centre.
It's tough, though, isn't it? It's tough selections in there.
Yeah. It's one area of the field where you might get a bit of a bolter. Not an out-and-out bolter, because there's no one cap players around, really. But you know what I mean? It's one where you might get a shock.
Possibly, yeah. Anyone you could see being that shock?
Well, Harris is a shout, although he wouldn't be a complete shock. Mm. Possibly one of the
backup
Irish centres. Well, no, they only rotate three, don't they? So there isn't one.
Chris Farrell's the other one, isn't he? Mm. Yeah.
Cameron Redpath, something like that.
Yeah, I mean, that would be a... Yeah, I know
Cameron Redpath, you never know.
Jared Payne went 4 years ago, didn't he? Kind of out of nowhere.
Mm.
Not out of nowhere. Yeah. Obviously, he was
4 years ago or 8 years ago?
When he was at Ulster, wasn't it?
Yeah. Yeah, and he went as a centre 15 utility kind of player, didn't he?
Yeah.
Which again, Slade gives you. There's not as many tour games this time round, so it's not needed quite as much, but he does give you an option of 10, 12, 13, 15 if you needed him in an emergency, I'm sure. But yeah, all right, we'll go for Slade for the time being, which just leaves the back three. So I've factored in six slots here. Players that I've got on the shortlist for now: Anthony Watson, Jacob Stockdale, James Lowe, Keith Earls, Sean Maitland, Duane van der Merwe, Josh Adams, Lewis Rees-Sammet, Liam Williams, Elliot Daly, Stuart Hogg, Max Malins, if you wanted to go really left field, but I don't think you'd make mine. That's there's a lot of class in there, though. I don't think it's an area where we're short on quality.
I got a feeling, and this isn't outside of my own bias, I got a feeling our whole Welsh back three goes.
I absolutely agree.
Mm.
I think Liam Williams in South Africa under the high ball, proven at that level.
Yeah.
You know, again, started fullback against New Zealand. Lewis Rees-Sammet, as we said before, is the out and out. Oh, sorry, we haven't mentioned Johnny May, which I know we've covered on previous pods. But Lewis Rees-Sammet, out and out pace, which, you know, he's that sheer wheels, which you need in South Africa. I actually think Josh Adams is probably the one who is...
he's the one who's under pressure from Johnny May and whoever else you think. But the first two, cast iron for me, Liam and it'd be mad if Lewis Rees-Sammet on the firm pitches of South Africa is going to be absolutely frightening. So they cast iron, those two, and then it's just a question of whether Josh gets the nod.
Josh played so well in the last game. You know, the work rate he got through coming off the wings, and he did put in some lovely touches, didn't he, in the other games as well, like working his way back in. I think he's done enough.
And I do.
And he's a test. He's proved it, isn't he? You know, he's...
I think he's done enough, but he's the weakest of the three. That's all I'm saying.
That's my thought on it.
Yeah.
I think Stuart Hogg will go. While we're talking about this.
Stuart Hogg will go.
He's a cast iron. Yeah.
Again, you know, like offers such a threat with ball in hand. And that boot.
That only leaves, according to us, there's only two slots left.
Yeah.
And one of those to me is Duane van der Merwe.
Well, one of them for me is Anthony Watson.
I don't disagree.
No, sorry. I definitely take Watson. Yeah, Watson.
I think
yeah.
Watson's nailed on.
Watson's...
He had a great tour last time as well, Anthony Watson. And therefore, the only story there is Johnny May doesn't go.
Yeah. So who's the last? So Joanne van der Merwe, Johnny May.
I'm saying Watson goes. I'm inking him in. Which means that those definitely on the plane are Watson, Hogg, Liam Williams, Lewis Rees-Sammet, which leaves Johnny May, Josh Adams, Doohan van der Merwe, and then you're into the outsiders of Stockdale, Lowe, Earls, Maitland, Daly, Malins, those kind of players.
Hang on, I think
Josh is...
We've got six spots for the... so we've got Liam, Stuart Hogg, Anthony Watson, Lewis Rees-Sammet in as four of them. Then there's two places.
Yeah.
We think Josh is going, don't we?
Yeah, but it's not about who we think's going, Dan. It's about who we take, isn't it?
Yeah, but I'm saying...
Okay, I'd take him.
We're only 4 hours into the process now.
I'd definitely take him, wouldn't you?
I don't know. It's close.
Really?
Yeah, I think it's really close. I think...
I agree the way you picked so far is cast iron. The first...
They're the only ones who are cast iron for me, I think.
Yeah.
But
I... Well, the last two spots, I don't think James Lowe has done enough to force himself.
No, I don't.
I think he's gone backwards, boys.
Keith Earls is too old, even though he's had a great season.
Agreed.
Yeah, I love Keith Earls.
He's been in international rugby since about 2000.
He went on the last tour.
2001.
He went on the 2009 tour.
He's been on so many tours.
So he's been in international rugby since about 2007, 14 years ago.
Yeah, he's a great player.
He's had seasons in the wilderness, in fairness, but to be still doing it this many years after your debut is unreal. But too old, I would say.
And out wide as well.
He's not quick enough.
Yeah.
I don't think he's
great game against England. It's got a great try. You're not going to face him up against Mpimpi and Colby.
No way.
So that means no Irish wingers. Stockdale.
Stockdale's a shout.
He's the strongest candidate of them, isn't he?
Yeah.
And so here we go then. Stockdale, Doohan van der Merwe, Maitland's too old, and Johnny May. You got one berth between those two.
And Adams, yeah.
Oh, but two slots.
Two slots, sorry, yeah.
Me and Dan think Adams is going.
All right, there's two of you, he's on. Yeah. So that's one slot.
One slot between...
Between Stockdale. May, van der Merwe, Stockdale.
Top try scorer in the tournament, doing van der Merwe.
Defense enough? Okay.
Again, who do you want? And then this is the point. Who do you want lining up potentially against Mpimpi or Colby?
I think doing van der Merwe, although he'd be worried. Well, everyone's worried about facing Colby, Chess and Colby. It doesn't matter how big you are or small. Everyone is worried when he's got the ball. But carrying the ball into Colby, he's a really good matchup, I think.
Yeah. Again, comes down
to... Not that he makes my test squad, but, you know.
It comes down to that big moment, though. Again, if you have a, you know, we've got a great scoring opportunity, camped out in there 22, and it's a one-on-one finish for the line in a test match, do you want that ball falling to Doohan van der Merwe or to Johnny May?
Joanne van der Merwe for me. Johnny May is on his best form, great player, but I don't think he's on his best form.
Yeah, it's a good point at the moment, Jess. That's a good point by Murphy. He's the top try scorer.
All I can see, Dan, to speak over, all I can see in my mind now is Johnny May fading into Louis Rees-Sammet's dust as they chased after that kick through from Callum Sheedy in the Six Nations. And I guess I tell you who wouldn't trail into Louis Rees-Sammet's dust is Mpimpi.
Mpimpi, yeah.
Mokopi. So, I mean, it would cause uproar. It would cause uproar in the media. I'm happy for that, but there would be rugby politics involved if Johnny May's not picked.
I mean, actually, the interesting thing with this, with rugby politics, is I think whoever gets this sixth slot is very much sixth. You know, you've got, looking at when it comes to the test side, I mean, like Liam Williams, Stuart Hogg, Anthony Watson, Lewis Rees-Sammet, and Josh Adams are miles ahead of whoever is in sixth in terms of pecking order, I think.
Yeah.
I think it could be.
So, in which case, you probably do take a bit of a wild card in van der Merwe rather than, or you're hoping that May gets back to his best form.
Or we got Stockdale there as well, haven't we?
We do.
Yeah.
I mean, I think it could be Stockdale ahead of May at the moment. So it should be Van der Merwe or Stockdale. But
yeah, another, because Stockdale will cover 15-2.
Yeah, because of the defensive work he can do, knowing the 15 role, they're so dangerous out wide, aren't they?
Everyone covers 15, though, don't we? We've got Liam, we've got Hogg, we've got Watson, even Adams.
Yeah,
can cover there.
But May, you know, but like,
good point.
In a straight shootout, though, like I mean, from not like you'd switch him over, but just in terms of the way he can read the game.
That's a good point.
That maybe, you know, maybe that puts Stockdale, because May can't do that. You couldn't put May at 15, for instance, and Van der Merwe, you couldn't either. So I don't know whether Stockdale might just nip in.
On utility, he nips in. On try scoring form, for me, is doing Van der Merwe.
Certainly on form, Van der Merwe is the form pick.
Yeah,
but it's about then.
I think only LRZ beats him as a try-scoring threat this season. But, you know, even with the qualities of Anthony Watson and whoever else we've picked, I think they're the two hot shots in terms of tries this year.
So, it's true. I also think Watson's looked threatening playing in that England back line, which is no... Every time he had the ball, they kicked it up in the air. So,
Van der Merwe, he's definitely something different, isn't he?
He is.
So, you know... It's you said he's definitely the guy in the sixth spot, isn't he? So unless he has an absolute blinder,
you cop loads of abuse being a South African tour in South Africa as well.
Well, yeah, it's whether you think that's going to bring the best out. Again, I think a lot of this will come down to character, won't it? You know, and Gatland, you know, presumably will, you know, have had good words with the national coaches, and in fact, Gregor Townsend is going to be going as backs coach, isn't he? So. Yeah. You know, he'll have a good word there about what he's like as a character. And if he's the kind of bloke who you think is going to stand up to it and really, you know, and almost relish it, then I don't know, you know, that might even bode in his favour.
We could even put Van der Merwe in the second row if we have gone a bit light with the big boys.
he's from South African stock, so you'd trust him in the second row, wouldn't you?
Yeah, of course.
The other thing is if we take him... obviously, this is unofficial, just us. But if we take him, it pushes the Scottish contingent up to 5, and that'll be the highest since the early 90s, I'm pretty sure. I can't remember how many were in 97, but they've had very few this century. Very few.
Yeah. Have we got 5 in there, have we?
Yeah.
Hogg, Russell.
Yeah.
Hamish.
And Johnny Gray.
Yeah. I mean, those four, outside of Duane Van der Merwe, I think... Rock solid to go. Obviously, Finn Russell is the contentious issue in rugby union, I guess, all over. But Duane Van der Merwe is the only kind of one I would be unsure of whether he's going to make it.
The more I think about this, with Gregor Townsend going as backs coach, I was just thinking, oh, well, this actually starts to make you think that Gatland would be erring towards taking Finn Russell because he's his national coach. But then you also realise they had a mammoth bust up 18 months ago or a year ago. So it's like, you can read nothing into it. Oh, God.
You're sticking your, I mean, Gregor Townsend makes that call. If you don't take Finn, you take Johnny Sexton.
Mm.
He makes that call, takes a 35-year-old outside half and he goes wrong. You know, even if he doesn't like Finn.
But I think he does, doesn't it? Obviously, there's a fractious relationship there because Finn is a maverick talent, and he thinks that, you know, and he obviously has shown that in bad ways in the past. But he does seem to have knuckled down somewhat, and they've obviously patched it up.
Townsend is over it.
Townsend said he's got him into the leadership. I know it might just be sharp management, but they got him in as the leadership group and he's taking the talks and it might just be, you know, an arm around him. And
inside the tent pissing out, I think. Right. We come back to the wing, which is basically what we're sorted on.
It's the only thing stopping us going home again.
I think we're all three of us are potentially going with someone different, yeah, on this last choice.
All right, Dan, who are you going with?
Stockdale.
Ooh, okay. Murph's going Van der Merwe.
Yeah. Although I can see the Stockdale argument for utility.
I don't see that actually, because I don't think you need any utility when you've got that many other fullbacks in there. But I see the argument on the fact that Stockdale knows where the try line is, and his try scoring form of 2019 is, you know, is outstanding, or 2018, wherever it was. You know, he put together a couple of really good seasons there, and then has been hampered a bit by injury. I think, oh God.
This is the most exciting call out of the lot, this one.
There's no casting vote because we all disagree.
Yeah, I think, Murph, that Jed's angling towards Johnny May.
No, I think the more I think about it, the more I think it's between these two. And I'm a big fan of Stockdale.
Yeah.
But Van der Merwe is definitely the form player. He's definitely the form player. Van der Merwe.
Yep.
He goes.
He's in. The big man's in.
I think so. Yeah, he'll relish it.
Rewarded
for
it.
He will love it going back there, going back to South Africa.
He couldn't have done any more, could he? He couldn't have done any more. So
there's always a chance that I think Gatland in the past has only done five back three.
That is true.
You can have more players elsewhere, in which case we're completely wrong and he puts Elliot D in because he can cover four or five different positions.
Or so, even Elliot Daly.
Elliot D. After the way he played against the European game when he broke up the middle, Elliot Daly. You know what I meant. I'm too brandy thin. Elliot Daly.
Well, look, that's it. That is that has concluded the selection meeting. Let's have a recap of the whole squad. We'll start with the backs, just because that's what we've just done. So scrum halves, Connor Murray, Thomas Williams, Gareth Davis. Fly halves, Finn Russell, Dan Bigger. Centres, Owen Farrell, Henry Slade, Robbie Henshaw, George North. Back three, Anthony Watson, Duane van der Merwe, Josh Adams, Lewis Rees-Samet, Stuart Hogg, Liam Williams. And then in the forwards, props, loose head props, Mako Vunipola, Kian Healy, Wyn Jones, Luke Cowan-Dickie, Jamie George, Ken Owens, tight head props, Sinclair, Furlong, Porter, Locks, Itoje, Henderson, Byrne, Johnny Gray, Alan Wynne-Jones, Tom Curry, Underhill, Watson, Tipperick, Navidi, flankers, and then Sam Simmons and Toby Faletau as number eights, with Alan Wynne-Jones as tour captain.
Seems like a long time ago, that forwards pack.
It will do to the listeners because they're listening to it a week later.
I know, that's what I was getting at. Yeah. I think the biggest, having heard that back now, the biggest story is Billy not going in our team.
Yeah.
It's big.
It's the biggest story. And to some extent, Johnny May, because he's a big favourite over the border. But otherwise...
Ben Youngs is another one as well, isn't it? Ben Youngs will go. And if he didn't, I think there'd be a load of people whinging about it, even though they're the same people who are whinging that he's still England number nine.
Even though we all know he's average.
Yeah, our nine calls, if they're listening to that in England, would be...
two Welsh scrum halves on the back of this season would sound weird to anyone else. But we're biased.
I think there's logic behind it. And actually, for the record, I wanted Tommy Price in there. But the thing is, like, you've got... I just think, Murph, you've said it so many times, right? Is that Gareth Davis is, like... He's just got that ability and has proven it in big games. And I think that, you know, Gatland will know that. It's just whether it's, I don't know, whether it's enough to...
Well, in reality, he's probably a stronger candidate than Thomas Williams.
Yeah.
And also, it would be nice if he made the squad because he was part of the geographical six four years ago.
Yeah.
I can't remember all of them, but he was Thomas Francis, Corey Hill. So it would be nice if Gareth Davis...
Russell was another one.
Oh, yeah. And Gareth Davis did actually play in a midweek game. Yeah. So, you know, he's got a Lions cap, but to actually go on merit and be no kind of controversy in the press about the whys and wherefores of this six players and all that of you. So I think that would be good for him. And there isn't really a massive amount of competition at nine. So it is possible, I think, at Gareth, at least out of our selections. Connor is a cast iron, we think.
I think so.
We probably think Ben will be in, but it's not impossible that Gareth Davis will make that the three-man party.
Well, we haven't got too long to wait. And obviously, when Gatland does name his side, we'll be here with all the reaction from that. So a big thank you to Murph and to Dan. I know he's desperate to go and watch Line of Duty now. So when the listeners are listening to this, it's probably Line of Duty is probably finished as well, isn't it? They all know who did it. I haven't watched it, but, you know, it's...
I'm only 60.
Probably asking.
Turns out Ben Youngs was the rogue agent within the police or whatever it is that's going on. But thanks, yeah, thanks, fellas. Thank you to everyone who's listened. A big thanks, as always, to our sponsors at So Coffee Trades. If you want to get some top quality coffee, you can do that at socoffeetrades.co.uk. We'll be back to chat rugby with you very, very soon.
Podcast Network.